إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, the last time we had the point number 101, a part of it, and point number 102, and we had sort of the continuation of the history of what the Jahmiyyah got up to, a deviant group, the Jahmiyyah, who caused chaos. And just a point of correction before I forget, that we, in the text on page 35 of the second volume, something that seems like a slip of the pen there, with regard to the name of Al-Mutawakkil, the Khalifa Al-Mutawakkil, the one who came after the three who put the trial upon the people, the trial, and tried to force the people to accept the evil doctrine that the Qur'an is a created thing. Then the Khalifa who came after these three removed the trial. He removed it, and he was Al-Mutawakkil. I mean, his title was Al-Mutawakkil, and his name, as it says in the text, he was Ja'far ibn Al-Wathiq. Obviously he came after the previous Khalifa Al-Wathiq, but he was actually the brother of Al-Wathiq. So he was not Ja'far ibn Al-Wathiq, rather he was Ja'far ibn Al-Mu'tasim, the son of the Khalifa who was before. There was the father, Al-Mu'tasim, and before him Al-Ma'mun, who was a brother, Al-Ma'mun, then his brother Al-Mu'tasim, then after Al-Mu'tasim came his son. And then after these three, there came Ja'far ibn Al-Mu'tasim, who was the one known as Al-Mutawakkil. So first there was Al-Ma'mun, then he was followed by Al-Mu'tasim, and those two were sons of Harun al-Rashid. Al-Ma'mun, the one who introduced that trial, and he was followed by his brother Al-Mu'tasim, and he was followed by his son, Al-Mu'tasim's son, Al-Wathiq. And then came the one Al-Mutawakkil, who was a brother of the previous one, Al-Wathiq. So the first two were sons of Harun al-Rashid, and the next two were sons of Al-Mu'tasim. So just a slip of the pen or something on that page there, page 35, where it should say, أَمَّا اسْمُهُ فَهُوَ جَعْفَرْ إِبْنُ الْمُعْتَصِمِ. الله أعلم. From the points that we had, then we had the point that the Jahmiyyah, they managed to beguile the ruler, these people of ignorance and evil and deviation and innovation, they managed to beguile the ruler, Al-Ma'mun. And that's when the fitna of the creation of the Qur'an started. They came with this evil innovation, the statement that the Qur'an is created, and they forced the scholars, tried to force them and tried to force the people to accept it. So that carried through the time of Al-Ma'mun, Al-Mu'tasim, Al-Wathiq, and then, as we mentioned, came Al-Mutawakkil, and he removed that trial, and he aided the people of the Sunnah. Shaykh Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, that this fitna occurred because the rulers had these evil advisers. So that contains a lesson for us not to have evil advisers, evil close companions and associates and advisers, not to take those type of people as our advisers. Because look at the evil it led to here. So indeed, the Jahmiyyah, these rabble, the Jahmiyyah, they gained the upper hand, and the people of the Sunnah and the Sunnah were suppressed. And as Sheikh Fawzan said, and as occurred in the text, that anyone who sat with them, arranged sittings and called to this, the belief of the Jahmiyyah, anyone who sat with them was put to trial. And the least that a person would suffer is that he would end up doubting and confused about his religion. Anyone who went and sat with them, listened to what they said, at the very least, he would start to doubt about his religion and be in confusion about it. But otherwise, he would follow them, and he would be one who agreed with them, and agreed that what they were upon was the truth, and followed them upon it. Then, the Sheikh mentioned that this was reversed in the time of Al-Mutawakkil. In the time of Al-Mutawakkil came, then he removed this evil trial, and the situation was reversed, the people of the Sunnah became uppermost again. The trial was put an end to, and people of the Sunnah spoke out sternly against the people of innovation, against the Jahmiyyah and their like. However, as Sheikh Barzan said, deviation still continued, still existed. It still had people calling, it still had people upon it, and that is the reality, that evil, good continues, and evil continues as a trial for the people. And we had the point that the heresy came about, as heresy, evil heresy always comes about, through the ignorant rabble, ignorant people. The masses of people who just follow anyone who calls out to anything, they'll just follow him. No matter what foolishness he calls to, you'll find someone who will follow him upon that foolishness. And Sheikh Fawzan contrasted this with the position of the scholars, the way of the scholars. The ulama, the people of knowledge, they follow to and adhere the truth. They're not swayed this way and that way, they follow the truth and stick with it. So indeed, a person should not be followed by the large number of people of evil. Because large numbers of people will just follow any caller who calls to any nonsense. And we had towards the end the point that the people of the earlier scriptures, the point that continues today, the people of earlier scriptures, they differed and disagreed upon knowledge. They did so upon knowledge. That the truth came to them and was clear to them, and then they differed. And as a result of following their desires. Even though they had the truth with them, they followed their desires over and above it. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan made the point that if a person were to act contrary to the truth, based upon ignorance, he didn't know the truth, that would be an easier matter. It's a problem that he's going against the truth. But he's doing so upon ignorance, then that's easier. That can be dealt with. But the real problem, the worst of misguidance, is when a person knows the truth and goes acts contrary to it then. Contradicts the truth upon knowledge. And he is, no doubt, one who is the most astray from the people. Then Imam al-Barwahabi, rahimahullah, he follows this with the point number 103, what occurs here in the second volume, page 41. And just before we begin, I'll mention a point that Sheikh Saleh al-Sahaymi, hafidhullah, mentioned, which links what we just had to what follows in this point here. So Sheikh al-Sahaymi said, so here, having mentioned the condition of the evil scholars from the people of Kalam, people of theological rhetoric in the past section, having mentioned that, those are ulama al-su, evil scholars from the Jahmiyyah and their scholars, and that they were just the riffraff and the rabble of the people, and that they reached a situation, that they reached the level of zandaqa, absolute heresy, and they reached the level that they started to speak about Allah without knowledge at all, and they spoke falsely about Allah, the Exalted and Most High, with many different sayings to other than that. He said, but then in the face of that, Allah, the Exalted and Most High, did not leave this nation free of anyone who would stand up for Allah's sake. He, the Perfect and Most High. Allah did not leave that to be the case. It was just, there were only these people just described here. So rather, Allah did not leave this nation without someone who would stand up for Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and who would revive whatever had been wiped away from the Sunnah, and safeguard that which remained, and give life to that which had been wiped away, and who would strive in that regard. So then, the saying of Imam al-Barwahari, rahimahullah, here in this section, point 103, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ فِي إِصَابَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ وَالسُّنَّةِ يَهْدِيهِمُ اللَّهُ وَيَهْدِي بِهِمْ غَيْرَهُمْ وَيُحْيِي بِهِمْ السُّنَنَ فهم الذين وصفهم الله تعالى مع قلتهم عند الاختلاف فقال وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم فاستثناهم فقال فهدى الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. الآية من سورة البقرة. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال عصابة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم ظاهرون. السيد الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله and know that there will not cease to be amongst mankind a group of the people of the truth and the sunnah. Allah will guide them and guide others through them, and through them he will revive the prophetic sunnahs. So they are the ones whom Allah the Most High describes. Despite there being few in number at the times of controversy, times of differing. So he said, and then he mentioned the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 213, with the explanation, and none disagreed concerning the scripture, except those who had been given it, after Allah's clear proofs had come to them, as a result of jealous animosity towards each other. He said, so he made them the exception, saying, and he mentioned the continuation of the ayah with explanation, so Allah guided by his permission those who had iman. So Allah guided by his permission those who truly believed regarding the truth that they differed concerning. And Allah guides whomever he wishes to the straight and true path. And he said, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will not cease to be a group of my nation who are uppermost upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who forsake them until Allah's command comes about, and they are uppermost. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he, rahimahullah, said, wa'alam, and know, meaning, ta'allam, meaning learn, O Muslim, and O student of knowledge, be alert to the fact that the truth will remain. And whomever Allah grants the success of following it to, will remain upon it. No matter how many the fitan, no matter how many the trials and tribulations are, and no matter how much the enemies attempt to put an end to the truth and its people, for they will not be able to do that. Since Allah the Perfect protects it. He the Most High said, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 9, with the explanation, we certainly sent down the reminder, the Quran, and we shall certainly preserve it. The Shaykh said, and he the Most High said, Inna lananthuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumu al-ashhad. Surah Ghafir, the 40th surah, ayah 51. With the explanation, we shall certainly aid our messengers and those who believe in the life of this world and on the day when the witnesses shall stand. On the day of resurrection, on the day when the witnesses shall stand. The Shaykh said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله تبارك وتعالى. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there will not cease to be a group from my nation who are uppermost upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who oppose them, nor by those who betray them. They will not be opposed by those who oppose them from outside, nor by those who forsake them or betray them from inside, until the command of Allah, the Exalted and Most High, comes about. In the footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, and the reference there should be hadith 7311, 7311, and Muslim, as hadith 1921, from the hadith of Al-Mughira, radiallahu anhu. Also reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith number 7460, 7460, and Muslim, as hadith 1037, 1037, from a hadith of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. And reported by Muslim, hadith 1920, from a hadith of Thawban, radiallahu anhu. And also by Muslim, as hadith number 1923, from a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhuma. And also by Muslim, as hadith 1922, from a hadith of Jabir ibn Samurah, radiallahu anhuma. So the hadith, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, there will not cease to be a group of my nation upon the truth, uppermost. They will not be harmed by those who oppose them, nor by those who betray them, until the command of Allah, the Exalted and Most High, comes about. The Shaykh said, so the truth will remain, and its people will remain, even if they become few in number, in certain years, or in some times. For Allah will never allow this truth to be lost. However, it is obligatory. Well, the Shaykh makes the point, the truth will not be lost. However, what is obligatory upon those who adhere to this truth is that they have sabr upon it. They have patience upon it. And have patience. The person has patience with whatever he encounters. For indeed Allah, the Majestic and Most High, will not allow this truth to be lost, ever. Rather, he will provide for it supporters and followers. And it may move from one place to another place. So if it is left, the truth is left in one place, then Allah provides other people for it. Just as He, the Most High, said, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Surah Muhammad, the 47th Surah, Ayah 38, with the explanation. And if you were to turn away from the truth, then Allah would destroy you and would bring others in place of you, and they would not be the likes of you. As we've mentioned before, any explanation is, less stated otherwise, is generally taken from the tafsir of Ibn Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentions a further ayah and says, and as he, and just as he, the Most High, said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم. سورة المائدة, the fifth surah, ayah 54, with the explanation, O you who believe, whoever amongst you turns his back upon his religion as an apostate, then Allah will soon bring a people whom He loves, and who love him. Those who are mild and merciful towards the believers, and are stern against the disbelievers. They fight jihad in Allah's cause, and they do not fear the blame of any blamer. That is the bounty of Allah, which He gives to whomever He wishes. And Allah is vast in His bounty, knowing fully those who are deserving of it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, so this is a guarantee from Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that this truth will remain, and that He will provide for it those who will establish it and defend it. So the danger is not for the religion. Danger is not for the deen, that it will be lost. But rather the danger is upon us, we the people who cling to this religion and have patience upon it. Or rather, as I said, rather the danger is upon us, we, if we do not cling to this religion and have patience upon it. For then it would be taken away from us and given to others besides us. So it is upon us to fear for ourselves that this religion is not taken away from us and given to others besides us, and that we are destroyed. And the Shaykh said, he's saying, أَنْهُ لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ فِي إِصَابَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And there will not cease to be amongst mankind a group of the people of the truth and the sunnah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Isaba, يعني جماعة. This word, Isaba, a small party of people, small group of people, meaning a jama'ah, a body, a group of people. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لا تزال طائفة. There will not cease to be a طائفة, a group of the people, a section of the people. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is called ta'ifa, a section of the people. And it is called jama'a, a body or group of the people. And it is called isaba, a band of people. All these words have the same meaning. He said, his saying, each of these terms occurs in a hadith, a description of this group of the people upon the truth. Ta'ifa, and Jama'a, and Isaba. And he said, he's saying, يَهْدِيهِمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will guide them. The Shaykh said, to adhering to this truth. He will guide them to adhering to this truth. وَيَهْدِي بِهِمْ غَيْرَهُمْ. And he will guide others through them. The Shaykh said, so they are guided themselves, and they guide others. This is the characteristic of the ulama al-Rabbaniyin. This is the characteristic, the description of the wise scholars who nurture and educate. The ulama, the scholars who are Rabbaniyin. The scholars who are wise, who nurture the people correctly. That they do not restrict themselves to themselves. Rather, they also call others, they also call other people to the truth, and provide them with insight regarding it, and they direct them towards it, meaning they direct them to it, and they clarify it to them. He said, he's saying, وَيُحْيِي بِهِمُ السُّنَنْ, and through them he gives life to the prophetic sunnahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the prophetic sunnahs, after they have been erased, after they have been erased and become buried, then they resurrect them and revive them. This is their way. They give life to the sunnahs,
and they cause the innovations to die. And they revive this religion so that it returns to being just as it was when it was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in every age throughout time, Allah will send for this nation those who will revive for it its religion, those who will dispel from it the false distortions of the innovators and the false claim of the claimants and the false interpretations of the ignorant. This is a bounty from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Allah the Most High does this. In every time, Allah sends someone who will do this. Revive the religion and restore it to being how it was originally. As Shaykh said, this is a bounty from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. How frequently this religion has faced attacks of the enemies by force and false claims and by use of doubts. However, the religion still remains fresh and pure, just as it was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with its book and its sunnah. And no hand has been able to change it. Just as He the Most High said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Same ayah again, Surah Al-Hijr, 15th Surah, ayah 9, with the explanation. Indeed, we sent down the reminder, the Qur'an, and we shall certainly preserve it. The Shaykh said, so here is the Qur'an, just as it was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not a single letter from it has been changed. And this is from the protection of Allah for it. It's from Allah's preserving it. As for the previous books, and the rabbis and the monks, people of religious knowledge and the religious worshippers, they were entrusted with safeguarding them. But they allowed their books to be lost. They allowed their books to become lost. And for changes and alterations and distortions to occur, just as happened with the Taurat and the Injil. Except that Allah has guaranteed that He Himself, He the Perfect, will safeguard this Quran. So no one will be able to boldly change a single letter from it. And this is from the favour of Allah upon this nation. He said, he's saying, فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ وَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَا قِلَّتِهِمْ عِنْدَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ فَقَالَ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. He said, he's saying, so they, those people, they are the ones whom Allah the Most High has described. That despite their small number, that when differences occur, he said, with regard to those people, that he quotes the ayahs again, from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 213, the ayah with the explanation. And none disagreed with regard to the scripture, except those who had been given it after Allah's clear proofs had come to them. They differed as a result of mutual jealousy between them. Shaykh Fawzan said, وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ, part of the ayah with the explanation, and none disagreed with regard to it, the scripture, Shaykh said, meaning with regard to this deen, with regard to this religion, none differed with regard to this religion, or with regard to this scripture, this book. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Same part of the ayah we had just before. with explanation. No one disagreed about, no one disagreed concerning it, no one differed. Except for those who had been given it. The same ones who had been given it. After the clear proofs had come to them. As a result of mutual jealousy and enmity between them. Sheikh Fawzan said, so they did not differ because of the truth being hidden from them. And they're having to search for it. Rather, they differed on account of animosity towards each other, baghi, enmity and animosity towards each other. That's why they differed. And on account of al-ahwa, and on account of desires. This is the reason for their splitting, and their differing. Al-ahwa, desires, and hubb al-dhuhur, love of gaining prominence. And they did not differ because of ignorance, or because the truth was unclear. So this shows that the proof was established upon them. That the truth came to them, however, they did not turn their attention to it. The truth came to them, but they didn't turn their attention to it at all. Rather, they just followed their own desires, and their own personal goals, and their own personal aspirations in this life. So this ayah contains a rebuke of ikhtilaf, of differing, and that what is obligatory is that we gather together upon the Book of Allah. And it contains a rebuke of following desires and following what the souls wish for. And that what is obligatory upon the Muslim is that he should be one who follows the truth, even if the truth contradicts his own desires. He should follow the truth, even if it contradicts his own desires. Because the previous nations, كلما جاءهم رسول بما لا تهوى أنفسهم فريقا كذبوا وفريقا يقتلون. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 70, with the explanation, in the context of the Shaykh said, of the previous nations. The explanation, whenever a messenger came to them with that which their souls did not desire, then a group of the messengers they denied, and another group they killed. The Shaykh said, so they followed whatever conformed to their own desires, and whatever was contrary to their desires, and either they killed their messengers, or they called them liars. This was the way of the previous nations that were destroyed. So what is obligatory upon us is to unite upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and upon what? As-Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, and the companions and the Tabi'een were upon. Even if it runs contrary to our own desires. Since this is to our benefit. Whereas our following our desires is something that will only cause harm to us. He said, He the Most High said, وَلَوْ اِتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, Ayah 71, with the explanation. And if Allah had legislated affairs in accordance with their desires, people of falsehood, if Allah had legislated affairs in accordance with their desires, then the heavens and the earth and those within them would all have been ruined. And the Shaykh said, he's saying, فَاسْتَثْنَاهُمْ فَقَالْ فَهَدَى اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. He said, so he made them the exception, saying in the ayah where it's mentioned about the previous people differing, he made those people, the believers, he made them the exception, saying, and he quotes the part of the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah with the explanation, so Allah guided by His permission those who truly believed. He guided them regarding the truth that they differed concerning. And Allah guides whomever He wishes to a way that is straight and true. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the previous part of the ayah, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم. The ayah, same ayah as mentioned before, Surah Baqarah, second surah, ayah 213, which is the part of the ayah before it to give the context. With the explanation, mankind were upon a single religion, or mankind were a single nation, but then they differed. So therefore Allah sent the prophets as bringers of glad tidings for those who obeyed Him, and as warners to those who disobeyed Him. And He sent with them, and He sent down with them the scripture, with truth, so that they should judge between the people in those matters where they differed. And none differed concerning it, concerning the scripture, except for those who had been given it, after the clear signs of Allah, after clear proofs of Allah had come to them. They differed on account of mutual animosity. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he made clear that their differing was on account of al-baghi, animosity, and at-ta'addi, transgression against each other, and on account of following their desires. It was not the differing, it was not because the truth was unclear. Rather, it was they did not want the truth. And then he stated the exception and said, فَهَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Part of the ayah with explanation, but Allah guided those who had iman. Allah guided those who believed. Shaykh Fawzan said, those people are those who followed the prophets. They are the followers of the prophets and the people of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah from this nation. And they are the people of the truth. So it shows that this requires iman, true faith. And guidance that's required for it, to attain it, is iman. You have true faith. So he places his guidance, his hidayah, with those who are deserving of it. And they are the people of iman, the people of true faith. And those who love the truth, then Allah will guide them through their iman, through their true faith, and through their love of the truth. So this shows that guidance, al-hidayah, has a means, has a cause, a means, which is iman, true faith, and loving the truth, and searching for it. As the Shaykh said, he's saying, صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال إصابة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم ظاهرون. Saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there will not cease to be a group from my nation who will be uppermost upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who forsake them, those who desert them, until the command of Allah comes about and they are still uppermost. In the footnote they mention the checking of this hadith as preceded in just a few pages before, as it being a hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Sheikh said, this hadith is well known, with many wordings and narrations. In one wording, لا تزال إصابتهم. There will not cease to be a group. And in the footnote they give a fuller wording for this wording, saying, Muslim reports it in his Sahih, this hadith 1924, from Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لا تزال إصابتهم من أمتي يقاتلون على أمر الله قاهرين لعدوهم لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتيهم الساعة وهم على ذلك. He said, I heard Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, there will not cease to be a group from my nation fighting in accordance with Allah's command, overcoming their enemy. They will not be harmed by whoever opposes them until the hour, the last hour, comes upon them, and they are still upon that. Sheikh Farzan said, we got this wording, لا تزال إصابة, there will not cease to be a group. He said, and it is the Jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. And in one wording, ta'ifa, a group of people, ala al-haqqi zahirin, being zahirin, uppermost, as Shaykh said, aided upon the truth, Shaykh said, meaning aided against others. La yadurruhum man khadalahum hatta ya'ti amrullahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. They will not be harmed by those who forsake them, those who desert them, until the command of Allah, the Exalted and Most High, comes about. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, at the end of time, meaning close to the establishment of the hour, when the souls of the believers are taken, so there will not remain upon the earth a believer then. And when the wind, Allah sends that wind, that gentle wind, that takes away the soul of every believer remaining then, till that time. Sheikh said, and there will not remain, I mean, at that time then there will not remain upon the earth any believer. There will not remain except for the people of disbelief and shirk. Then the last hour will be established upon them. So the last hour will not be established upon the believers, meaning whilst they're alive. Rather, it will be established upon the disbelievers. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Inna min shirarin nasi man tudrikuhum as-sa'atu wa hum ahya'un walladhina yabnuna al-masajida ala al-qubur. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, from the worst of mankind are those whom the last hour comes upon and they are still alive, And those people who build places of worship upon graves. As for this hadith, then they bring a large footnote, just to summarise something from it and add something extra. Then this hadith is reported by, with this particular wording, by Ibn Khuzaymah in his Sahih, and by Ibn Hibban, and by Ibn Abi Shaybah, by Imam Ahmad, and At-Tabarani. As was mentioned by Sheikh Al-Albani in his book, Tahdhir al-Sajid. And Sheikh Al-Albani declared the hadith sahih, authentic. And then in the footnote they mention various sources for parts of the wording and so on. And then they say, towards the end, as for the first line here, I mean the first line being, from the worst of mankind are those whom the last hour will come upon, and they are still alive. They say, this occurs as a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Ibn Mas'ud, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the last hour will not be established except upon the worst of mankind. And as for the second part, and those people that from the worst of mankind are those who build masajid, build mosques, build place of worship upon the graves. Now this part is reported also by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from a hadith of Aisha from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the wording, those people, when a righteous man dies amongst them, they build a place of worship upon his grave, and they make his image within it, with those images. So they are the worst of the creation with Allah on the day of resurrection. Hadith. Each part of the hadith occurs in separate narrations in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. As for the full wording as it occurs here, as we mentioned, Shaykh Albani mentions it occurs in Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Abi Shayba, Ahmad al-Tabarani, and elsewhere. And then Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, those people are the worst of mankind, and Allah's refuge is sought. So the last hour will not be established upon a believer, once he's alive. Rather, it will be established upon the disbelievers and the people of shirk. They'll still be alive, walking upon the face of the earth when it's established upon them, and they're still alive. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Thank you.